In 1966, Charleston, South Carolina, Will McLean returns for his senior year at Carolina Military Institute with mixed emotions. Despite ranking near the bottom militarily, he's been elected vice chairman of the Honor Court, a prestigious position judging cadets accused of violating the school's sacred code. The Institute, founded in 1842 after a slave insurrection, takes pride in having fired the first shots of the Civil War. Its campus faces inward, adorned with obsolete weapons, embodying the school's unyielding devotion to tradition. Will's relationship with Colonel Thomas Bernanau, the Bear, proves pivotal when he's assigned a sensitive mission: serve as liaison for Tom Pierce, the Institute's first black cadet, who has already received threatening letters from a mysterious group called the Ten. The Bear explains that while most South Carolina schools have integrated, the Institute has resisted until federal funding became threatened. Despite his own admitted prejudice, the Bear commits to protecting Pierce because he becomes one of my lambs, and I like to make sure all my lambs get an even break. Will's survival depends on three roommates who become his sanctuary. Trad St. Croix, from Charleston's aristocracy, is a refined artist who endured the plebe system with surprising resilience, determined to prove himself to his father. Mark Santoro brings passionate Italian-American expressiveness that contrasts with Will's Irish restraint, their friendship expressed through mock ethnic warfare concealing deep brotherhood. Dante Pig Pignetti is their physical cornerstone, the only freshman who thrived under punishment, his legendary physique becoming Institute mythology. Together, they form a protective brotherhood against relentless demands. One night on the 4th Division Gallery, they stand with locked arms, experiencing an incredible tenderness and unspeakable fragility, a pure love impossible to acknowledge within the hyper-masculine environment. Years later, Will reflects on this moment with tragic insight, realizing some arbiter of violence had already marked three of them as victims. The Institute's fourth-class system breaks freshmen before rebuilding them in the image of the Institute man. This transformation begins on Hell Night, what Will calls the rape of boys, where plebes crawl across cement while upperclassmen kick them to their rooms. The system eliminates I as an obscenity while elevating the collective we, embodying the fundamental tension between individual identity and group belonging. This struggle manifests through Bobby Bentley, who involuntarily urinates when screamed at by upperclassmen. After the cadre humiliates him with diapers and turns classmates against him, a transformation occurs. All 37 classmates wet their pants in solidarity, a defiant, unifying act. Though forced face down in their urine afterward, this degrading baptism bonds them as a class. Yet Bobby vanishes the next evening, with rumors that a secret group called the Ten removed him after the cadre failed to do so. Will develops a relationship with Annie Kate Gervais, a Charleston socialite secretly pregnant while supposedly studying in California. Their initially combative interactions evolve into clandestine garden meetings where she confides her situation. As her pregnancy progresses, she relocates to their Sullivan's Island beach house, which Will frequently visits. They establish a ritual of collecting sand dollars together. Annie Kate's predicament reveals Charleston society's hypocrisy. Her boyfriend offered abortion money but refused marriage, while her mother crafted an elaborate cover story to maintain their social standing. Will falls in love, admiring how pregnancy enhances Annie Kate's beauty. During a shell hunting walk, he confesses wishing the child was his. She responds with her first kiss, tasting of salt and berries. When labor begins, Will rushes her to the hospital, professing love and offering marriage. Tragically, the infant dies during birth. Afterward, Annie Kate coldly rejects Will, explaining she's erasing the entire year, including him. Most devastating is her plan to present herself as a virgin to her future husband. There was no baby, Will. There was only a bad dream. During Will's senior year, rumors persist about the Ten, a secret group preserving the purity and integrity of the Corps by targeting unworthy cadets. Will dismisses these rumors until Tom Paris receives threatening letters signed by the 10, and a plebe commits suicide after mentioning being taken to a house. Colonel Reynolds confirms Will's growing suspicions. "I believe the 10 exists, Will, and I am afraid of them." Will discovers from Bobby Bentley that he hadn't simply quit years ago, but was kidnapped, blindfolded, and tortured by 10 hooded men wearing institute rings until he agreed to leave. When Tom Paris disappears, Will tracks him to General Durrell's plantation, where masked figures, including John Alexander and Kane Gilbreth, are subjecting Paris to electric shocks and racial abuse. Will creates a distraction, allowing Paris to escape. The 10 later frames Pig for stealing gasoline. Despite Will's defense during honor court, Pig is found guilty and undergoes the walk of shame. Unable to face his family's disappointment, Pig walks into an oncoming train. His suicide leaves Will devastated and determined to seek revenge. After Pig's death, Will spends 3 days in bed studying the art of vengeance, waiting for his cold black fury to crystallize. Throughout the barracks, tension builds as cadets whisper about the tragedy. Dark humor emerges. Graffiti declares Dante Pignetti was railroaded, and Justice for Pig becomes an underground rallying cry. Will and Mark's investigation leads to the St. Croix Mansion. In Commerce's study, they discover journals revealing the 10 has existed since Reconstruction, with deep roots in Charleston society. Their most devastating discovery? Trad, their beloved roommate, is not only a member, but was groomed from childhood, his entire friendship calculated and orchestrated. Armed with evidence of the 10's illegal activities, grade manipulation, honor code violations, systematic harassment, Will confronts General Durrell with an ultimatum. Either the 10 disbands permanently, or evidence goes to authorities and media. When the general mockingly asks what place Will McLean thinks he'll have in Institute history, Will responds with certainty, "I plan to write that history, sir." On his final night as a cadet, Will walks Charleston's cobblestone streets in farewell. He had arrived as a lonely, frightened boy who grew to love the city's seductive charm, its wrought iron gates, hidden gardens, and weathered brick walls. Now that boy is dying, and Will leaves him in the lanes south abroad with a silent prayer. Before graduation, Will burns all uniforms except his full dress. He and Mark make promises to be careful, though Mark would later die decorated in Vietnam. At the ceremony, when General Durrell warns Will not to disgrace the ring, Will's defiant response is simply, "Dante Pignetti." Crossing the stage, Will feels the witness within him growing, the keeper of memories both beautiful and terrible. Will asks the bear to sign his diploma instead of the general. The bear refuses wisely. "There already is a man I can respect on your diploma." Though Will wears the Institute ring, he has forged his own definition of honor, embracing justice, mercy, and truth. His victory lies in transformation, using what was meant to break him to become stronger in his own way.